Listen, this is a requested song from the one and only Carrie Geiger, our financial crimes reporter here at Bloomberg News. Secret lovers, but we're really talking about dark pools.
That request just for you.
Also Thank with you. Us is Thank Joe Saluzzi, co-founder, partner at Themis Trading, to talk to us about this. It's one of the most read stories on Bloomberg. Tell me what's going on, Carrie. Let's kick it off with you.
Well, so let's rewind a little bit so we can start at the very beginning. A couple years ago, there was a book published called, Corey?
It was called Bonfire of the Vanities.
Flash Boys.
Oh, that one.
Pretty close. Okay, so Flash Boys, Michael Lewis's big hit seller about how trading goes on Wall Street. And it brought up some interesting issues related to high-frequency trading, which is, you know, is algorithmic trading, super, super fast trading. You do 400 trades in the blink of an eye. And also the whole concept of dark pools, which are large alternative trading platforms, basically not your stock exchange, that trade, you know, a good chunk, about a third of U.S. equities on a daily basis, and you can't see into those trades. And around this same time, we have the Securities and Exchange Commission, basically the regulator for all securities and trading platforms, and we have the New York Attorney General opening up investigations to see just how these businesses operate and what needs to go be changed in them, if anything illegal is happening. And so yesterday and this morning, we basically got resolution on a couple of different things that Credit Suisse and Barclays, two European banks, which run very, very large dark pools, which, you know, trade equities basically in secret, so you can't see what your competition is doing, those have been criticized heavily, heavily for a lack of transparency on Wall Street. They were fined a total of $154 million between the two of them for basically failing to disclose to their clients what was going on inside of their own dark pools.
It's amazing to me that, you know, that firms would put their trades into these dark pools without knowing what, you know, there's sort of two aspects to this that Michael Lewis brings to light in the book. One is just that firms are doing trades not really knowing what was going on with the trade or if they're getting best execution or not. And then secondly, that the very fact that the trades are happening there creates a data pool that can be of greater value to the high-frequency traders just because the trades are happening there. So they basically want to capture those trades so they can create the data to then sell to the high-frequency guys so those guys can get a taste of the market. And so, Joe, let me ask you, what's the most nefarious part of the dark pool when it's doing bad things?
Well, Corey, I think you make a great point when you're tying in the high-frequency trading firms, because if you look at the Credit Suisse case in particular, there's two parts that we honed in on. One is that they had something called CrossLink, which was basically a separate room, if you want to think about it, where they allowed two HFT firms, two high-frequency trading firms, to be sitting there, and they would send out indications of interest, or IOIs, about orders in their own dark pool, specifically to these two HFT firms, which, by the way, were not named in the SEC case. And those HFT firms could either act on that order, or they could either trade on it, or they could pass on it. Very similar to the flash orders that were back in 2009. There was a huge controversy back then. So they're leaking information on their own dark pool to specific HFT firms. Now, normally there's some sort of economic
incentive. So client orders. So a client says, hey, I've got a bunch of stock I want to buy. Help me work this order quietly in the market. And then they'll just turn around and just go right to someone and say, hey, there's a big buyer out there, this thing.
These were child orders. Most algorithms, the way they work on Wall Street, at least, is they'll send it as a parent order, which is, say, 100,000 shares, and then it'll slice out orders all day long, maybe 200, 500, 1,000. Either way, there's a pattern that recognizes there. They were sending out the information on the child orders to these two firms, for a couple of years they were doing it based on this case, which you can't quantify the damage here. And the reason why you can't quantify it is the HFT firms could be turning around, trading, saying, I'll take a look at that. No, thank you. I'll go out and hit the bid myself or take the offer myself. And the client on the other side has no idea what's going on. So it really
except they see the price move. So they see the price move against
them. Exactly, exactly. And that's the slippage. We call it slippage on Wall Street. How much did your trade hurt, right? How, and you mentioned the term best execution before. How did this hurt your best execution? But since it wasn't being disclosed on the part of the dark pool, the client really didn't have a way of knowing that this was going on. And that's really what the issue here is. It comes back down to, you know, Kerry mentioned it before, the word disclosure. And, you know, are they saying everything? Well, this was being obviously hidden. And even worse, there was another situation where they had two stock exchanges were getting special looks from the Credit Suisse pool, and the stock exchange routers then had a special advantage. Again, these exchanges were not named in the case. So when you look at the dark pool case, you say, okay, dark pools are bad, but let's look deeper. Not only were the dark pools involved here, but so are HFT firms and so are stock exchange, which is the reason why we call it a broken market, right? Because it's a fragmented mess with a whole bunch of conflicted interests out there.
So, Kerry, let me ask you, is this a victory? Is this going to give us greater transparency, or is this just a slap on the wrist? They'll pay it and they'll just move along.
Well, it's definitely a step in the right direction. It does a couple of things. One, the SEC was criticized for a long time for basically setting up the system that allows HFT and dark pools to prosper. So this is definitely a step in the right direction in trying to force a little bit of transparency in how those dark pools are operating. It doesn't change the underlying market structure issues that people are often critical of, but it's a step in the right direction. And secondly, it establishes the New York Attorney General as basically an enforcer of this area of the market, which is kind of an interesting twist. He was also heavily criticized by other regulators and so forth for kind of wading into this whole area, but he obviously got the result that he wanted with this. I mean, one of the interesting things about the Barclays case is they're installing a third-party consultant to kind of go through their practices and procedures, and they also admitted wrongdoing, which was an interesting point in this case. Often with these cases,
you never get that, right?
You have no admit, no deny. Credit Suisse was a no admit, no deny in the same as well. So you do have some interesting things. Obviously, it does not fix all the underlying market structure issues. I don't think any one settlement, and really you can't fix those things through settlements. Those are fixed through regulation. But, you know, my guess is we're going to see more of these.
Where will we see it next?
There's a lot of dark pools out there, and the AG and both the SEC seem to be pretty interested in kind of taking a look at just about everybody that is operating.
All right, so stay tuned. All right, Kerry Geiger, we're going to leave it there. Financial crimes reporter, Bloomberg News, one of our most read stories on the Bloomberg Terminal. Of course, our thanks to Joe Saluzzi, co-founder, partner at Themis Trading, joining us on the phone, I believe, in New Jersey. You are listening to the Bloomberg Advantage on Bloomberg Radio.